Well, let's pray. We're into John chapter 8, yeah? Lord, it's the living Jesus that we look at, Lord. And we see you in action as we read your word. And Lord, thank you that your ways, your attitudes haven't changed, Lord. You're still the same amazing, wise and gracious Lord. So I ask your blessings as we come to your word. Help us to understand. And Lord, learn how to apply what we read from the scriptures. Grant us your blessing, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So, John chapter 8 is where we're at. Interesting chapter, this one, for a variety of reasons. Just to say, in my translation here, the NIV, it's got the earliest manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have John 7:53-8:11. Mm-hmm. You've got that, have you?
Yeah.
Right. Well, before we even read the passage, I have to introduce you to a very tedious subject. It's called textual criticism. Mm. Yeah, it's not something you want to do very often, I guess. Right? But it has to do with how you work out which bits are authentic and which bits aren't. Because, I'm sure you're aware, there's many, many copies of the original documents that were circulating. And when people make copies, they make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes it's just a matter of figuring out spelling differences. That's all it is. The majority of the variations in the New Testament documents are spellings. Yeah.
And we struggle with interpretation of...
Well, interpreting's another thing. We're not here talking about interpreting. We're working out what was the original text. That's where we're at, yeah? Mm-hmm. And this passage has got something to do with that. Because it says in a large number of early manuscripts, this passage about the woman caught in adultery isn't there. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's not as simple as that. Life never is. Yes? Let me just give you a brief outline of the facts, and what decision will you make about this? Right. Well, against, there are several old manuscripts that don't have this passage in it, right? And the passage itself has that's the external bit. There's some passages and copies that don't have that passage in it. Yeah. Then there are internal evidence. You look at how it's written, and the words that are used aren't always the usual ones that John would use. That's a very difficult subject to work on, that one, because John might be using different words because he's talking about a different subject. Yeah. But be that as it may, there's a question about the words, there's a question about it being found in some of the manuscripts. That's the against side. Right? Now, the for side is this, that in quite a few of the manuscripts, it's there. And in quite a few of the manuscripts that it's not there, there's a gap. Somebody's taken it out. Yeah? Right? And as far as the internal bit's concerned, as I say, the variations can be quite simply explained by different topics. And so, but John doesn't have to use the same words all the time, does he?
No.
Right. So, but in all of these instances, everybody's agreed that what it teaches is absolutely in line with the way Jesus would be. Yeah, so there's no issue about what it's teaching. It's just whether it's there or not. Yeah? So, I've got a question to ask you. Why would it be in if it weren't there in the original?
Yeah.
Yeah? I can explain why it would be out if it were there in the original.
Yeah.
And some of the old writers, the really ancient writers, make this comment. The reason that they cut out this piece is because they misunderstood it as teaching it's okay to be adulterous.
Yeah. Yeah. It pointed to the religious.
Yes, that's true as well. Yes, it did, yeah. But there's plenty of passages that don't give the religious ones a good picture, you know. But that essential one, I think, was, and the other is that it's not made many comments about in the church fathers and whatever. And why would they want to make comments about it, really? Because if they're trying to defend the cause of being faithful in marriage, they're not going to quote this too often, are they, anyway? So, balance, in my view, is this. It is there as the original. It got chopped out because some people weren't happy about what it taught, because they didn't understand what it taught. And a few copies got carried on that way. Yeah? So, I'm accepting it's there in the original. Yeah. And as I say, there's no issue about what he teaches. It's absolutely dead straight if you understand it. So we'll look at it now. Shall we? Having settled that, we'll keep it in John. Although, just one more little comment. Sometimes, in other manuscripts, it doesn't turn up in John, it turns up in Luke. Just for good measure. There you are. Somebody was chopping it out, thought, oh, I can't leave it out, we better put it back in again somewhere. It got into Luke. But anyway, there you go. Right, so, back to John chapter 8. That was our brief foray into textual criticism. As you can see, a very rewarding subject. It is, but it's as dry as dust most of the time. Anyway, there you go. Right, okie doke. Right, each went to their own home, his own home. That's verse 53. Each of the Sanhedrin lot that had gathered to organise an arrest, yeah, they cleared off. So next day is Jesus back in the temple teaching. That's what the suggestion is there, right? But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Why did he go to the Mount of Olives?
To go home.
It was to go home at the end of the day. Where did he stay? Did he stay on the Mount of Olives?
That's where he went.
Well, he got friends over the hill. You know Bethany? Well, I don't mean the girl. I mean the place. Bethany, where Mary and Martha lived. They lived on the Mount of Olives on the other side. So that's where Jesus went at night, it would seem, right? So at dawn, right, so nice and bright, at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him. And he sat down to teach them. Right, now that again is typical of the rabbi. The rabbi stands to read, but he sits down to teach.
Yeah.
I've got it wrong, as you can see. I need a chair around here, that's what, yes, yeah. But that's what he does, yeah. Right. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. Right? They made her stand before the group. So, here's this group of, what are they? The teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Jesus doesn't usually refer to the teachers of the law, the scribes as they're sometimes known. John doesn't, rather. But he does here. This group bring this woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they made her stand before the group. So they're exposing her to public disgrace and shame. Yes? Now, I have a question to ask you. They're up to no good. We know that, yes? The question is, if she was caught in the act of the adultery, where's the chap?
Oh, no, don't tell the men.
Yeah.
Well, the Old Testament said they're both guilty, right?
Yeah.
So they're not applying the law fair anyway, but yeah. So basically, they're not interested in her, they're not interested in justice, they are using her.
Yeah.
You can't get worse than that, can you? They are using her and making it an absolute spectacle just for their own good.
It
would be frightening.
Time.
It would be terrible, yes. Yeah. So,
The woman is committing adultery, does that mean she was married?
She was married. That would be the
young man could have been a young man not married.
It could possibly be that, yes.
So he wouldn't.
That doesn't excuse him at all. No, he's committing adultery.
No, he's married.
He's committing adultery in having a relationship with her. So he's as guilty as the next, but this is what it's about, yeah? Because they're trying to set, we see him, they're trying to set a trap for Jesus.
Yeah.
So they made the stand, she's right there, stuck in the front, crying, poor thing, yeah? They said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. So their little scheme is they put Jesus there with this woman in front of him, and the question is, we caught her in the act of adultery. Lord Moses says she's to be executed. What do you say? Right, what's their trap? It's two-sided.
To see if he's keeping the law.
Right, one is, if he's not keeping the law, they can discredit him in front of the rest of the community. Yeah, that's one side. Right, but the other is, if he says she should be stoned, right, they've got a problem then, or he's got a problem with the Romans, because it wasn't, the Jews were not allowed to execute anybody, right? So if he says go and stone her, he's going against Roman authority.
Yeah.
So if he says yes, they've got him on the law side. If he says no, they've got him on the law side. If he says yes, they've got him on the Roman side.
Yeah.
Right. So they think they've caught him. It's called the horns of a dilemma. Wow. And do you know what Jesus does with horns of dilemma? He chops both off. Right. Anyway, this is amazing. Right. So they were using this question as a trap. That's obviously as a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. So Jesus bends down and starts writing. Now, what's he doing?
He's writing
the sign. Well, yeah, he's writing. He's ignoring them. He's ignoring them. He's saying, I'm having nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
That's essentially what he's saying, yeah? He doesn't have to say a word. He's just saying, I'm having nothing to do with your little sneaky scheme, right? So he's writing. Whether it's the sign, remember, he's in the temple here. It might be on the paved stone pavement, you know. He might be just do. Well, what's he writing? There's been so much written about what he wrote that they've no idea. We don't know. I have a guess. I think he's doodling.
Yeah, prophecy, so I should think names. Yeah.
Well, it might be. I just think he's doodling. And I don't think it's in the... I just think that's what it is. He's, you know, as one does. Yeah?
I'm not listening to
you. Yeah, I'm not listening. Yes. You know, twiddly fingers and things like that. Yeah. So, that's what he says, I'm ignoring it. Right. When they kept on questioning him, you see, they won't give up. Right, persistent so-and-sos, aren't they? When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, he straightened up, that's always dangerous. When Jesus straightens up, you watch out what's coming, yeah? Right, he said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Right, and then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Yeah, so that was his one comment. If any of you is without sin, let him be the first one to throw the stone. Yeah? Right. And then he starts doodling again. Now, some have said, you know, what did he start writing? We don't know. Yeah? I think he's still doodling. Right? But some have made this suggestion. He started writing down the names of the sins that the various people were involved in, you know. Well, I don't think you need to write it down. He'd already planted the seed in their minds. They'd be doing the writing in their heads.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think he did, but as I say, the idea is that he wrote the sins down. He didn't. I don't think he wrote the sins down, but he gave them the thoughts about their sins, which started writing in their heads instead. And as a result,
his doodle is probably showing sins.
Well, I just think he was just doing that, you know. But yeah, yes, because what he's doing, he's planted the seed, and he's giving it time to work. Yeah. And this, do you know, this was before I was a Christian. I remember reading this and thinking, wow, that is wisdom. Yeah. Unbelievable wisdom, eh?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, and that was before I was a Christian. I think he's even more wise now. anyway, there you go. So that's his shot at them, yeah? If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at him. Yeah, so I say, if I'm not going to be the judge, you'll be the judge. But you've got to be a good judge. If you're sinless, you can do it. If you're not...
He sort of said that, and he's still...
Then he carries on. Yes, he's back to it. He's letting them stew now, though.
Is he referring really just to the Ten Commandments? Is that all on that?
Well, yes.
Any other sin?
Well, not what? The Ten Commandments cover everything, if you think about them.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, so it gives them a chance to think about it, yes? And what happens, he says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first.
They had no more sins.
Right, yes. They knew they got more to lose, I suppose. Yeah? Because Jesus has a way of uncovering things. Yeah? So the older ones thought, they may have thought we've got more to lose, or they probably thought, we haven't got him. Yeah? He's wriggled out of that one. So let's go off. Yeah? That may be part of their thinking as well. Anyway, the older ones first, then the younger ones. Why did the younger ones stay a bit longer?
Righteous.
Maybe some will throw
they got more judgmentally.
They're more judgmental, yeah. They're keen to have a go, aren't they? Yeah, and they're not so aware of their own failings, I guess, either. Anyway, eventually they all clear off. He says they all left, yes?
Yeah.
Right. When he says they all left, it doesn't mean everybody in the crowd left, it means the accusers left. Yeah, because Jesus is there, the woman's still there, and the previous gang that were around is still about, yeah? Right. Okay, So, they left until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her. He straightened up again. Different type of straightening this time, though. He asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Yeah? So, first time he's talked to her. Yeah? Right? Woman. It's not a put down, by the way. You know the word woman. Yeah, it's just a term of respect, I suppose. Yeah, just a woman. Where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. How about that? Right. What's her response? The word sir there sometimes is translated as Lord, but she doesn't mean Jesus is Lord, I don't think. But it's a strong word meaning a very respectful term. Sir, you know, yeah, that kind of thing, but really respectful. No one's condemned me, sir. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Right? So I'm not throwing stones either. Why? Because Jesus did not come to judge, he came to save. He will come to judge, yeah, but he's coming to save at the moment. Yeah? And so neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. And this is the line that those that chopped it out should have read. Yeah? Go now and leave your life of sin. Yeah? What Jesus does is, well, he's good at this, brilliant, yeah? What he does is he condemns the sin,
but not the sinner.
In one sense, he doesn't let her off. What he's done, he's saying, is, "Lord, I know what you've done, yeah? But go and leave your life of sin," right? So he's calling on her to act in terms of repentance and faith, yeah?
And she probably knew that he was a righteous man and had every right to throw the
first stone. Well, he said, "Neither do I throw it." He could have been the one who could have thrown it, yes. Yeah. And so, this little passage is an absolute little gem, really. And it comes in the middle of this whole section about the unbelief of the leaders and all this sort of stuff. And Jesus is showing that he's come to save, not to judge, yeah? So, we'll leave that interesting passage. We won't cut it out, will we?
No.
Because it tells us something about Jesus that is beautiful. Yeah? He is wise, he's gentle, he's gracious, and as hard as nails when it comes to people who are nasty and naughty. Yeah? I love him, he's good, you know. Right, okay. So, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Now, isn't that a perfect follow-on from what we just read?
Yeah.
He's demonstrated he's bringing light into people's lives and get rid of darkness. So, "I am the light of the world." Yes, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And now, we're back to these terms that John uses. When he uses darkness, he doesn't mean physical darkness. He means moral, spiritual darkness. People in a mess, in sin, messed up, yeah? He says, "I've come to get you out of that," yeah?
It shows that should have been in there, because he said afterwards, when Jesus spoke again.
Yeah, oh yes, yes. People. Yes, he spoke again to the people, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that verse should have been in there.
Well, that's fine, yes. I'll go with that, yeah. So, okay, so whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I've come to bring you light. Is not just physical light, but spiritual enlightenment, yeah, and life as well, of course, right? The Pharisees challenged him, but they turned up again, right? Yeah, the Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Says you're just talking for yourself. That's no good. You can't use that as a representation of what's right and wrong. Yeah. So Jesus answered them, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going." Yeah. So Jesus answers, they say, "What you're saying is just you talking off the top of your head." Jesus says, his answer is, "I know what I'm talking about." Yeah. "You dumb lot have no idea. I know what I'm talking about. Yes. I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. Right. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." See, that's reflecting back again, isn't it, to what we just read. Yeah. "You're just going by what you see. I work on a different level altogether. Yeah. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone, I stand with the Father who sent me. So he's saying is, I'm not on my own, I've got my Father to back up what I've been saying. Yeah. Right. In your own law, it's his law as well, of course, isn't it? But why do you say in your own law? Because they're so keen to think that they're the upholders and guardians of it all, and they don't keep any of it at all. Yeah. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. Yeah. That's what he wants. It says if you want to bring a case, you need two witnesses, two men, their witness is valid. And he uses the word men. The witness of two men is valid, because he's going to contrast that with himself and Father. Yeah. Right? Yeah. If two men's, humans' testimony is valid, well, when you've got my Father and me, you know, that is really underlining it's valid, yeah? So, I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me. Great. Right. And they asked him, where is your Father? Right. Yes, they don't believe him, of course. Yeah. Where is your Father? Right. His answer is, you do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. Well, I thought they knew him. What does he mean, they don't know him?
They don't know that he's the one.
They don't know about, yeah, they don't understand who he is.
They
yeah.
don't recognise yeah. him.
That's right, there's an acquaintance on the, at their level, but they don't understand or know who he is, yeah? And they certainly don't know God, that's what he's getting at, yeah? If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Now that is a big statement. Yeah? Jesus is saying the way to know God is to know him through Jesus. If you knew me, you knew the Father. Right? If you don't know Jesus, you can't know the Father. That's how God's chosen to make it work. Yeah? Right. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Right, so he was in the area. They had these big collecting boxes. Yes, it's where the treasurers lived, you know, and things like that. Yeah, and so Jesus is speaking there. That's where the crowds were. Yeah, yet no one sees him because his time had not yet come. How about that?
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't.
They couldn't because it was yeah. said.
Father's in charge. Yeah. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. But where I go, you cannot come. That's a terrible warning. And it's a challenge to them. He's really saying, is, what does he mean, I'm going away?
He means to go back to heaven.
We know.
I'm going to heaven.
Yes, yes. He's going to die, and he's going to heaven. I'm going to go away, yeah? And you'll look for me. They'll try, because why would they be looking for him? Because his body's gone.
Yeah?
Yeah? Right, and you will die in your sin. That's a terrible thing. If they stay as they are, they're heading for destruction. Yeah, to die in their sin means they take their sin with them when they face God.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. Yeah, where you go, where I go, you cannot come. Why not? Because they're carrying their sin.
Because yeah. until they accept Him, they can't
yeah.
go there.
And unless they repent and accept Him, they can't go. Right, that's the thing, yeah. So,
is that the way it comes from now? Once you come to me, it's the Father who sent me, draweth them.
That's, we've had that before, yes.
You only come to Lord through Jesus.
Yes. Jesus says nobody can come to him, to Jesus. No one can. When he says come, it means to know him and understand him. He said that. Jesus said that, yeah. No one can understand who Jesus really is unless God the Father has been opening their hearts and drawing them to Jesus.
Yeah.
So God's at work to turn the light on so you know who Jesus is. Yeah. Right. And that's what he's saying there. You can't come to me. You're still in your sin, so you won't know me. Yeah. Right. Okay. This made the Jews ask, verse 22, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, when I go, you cannot come? They've not got it, have they? Completely out of the range of everything, yes? Okay, but he continued, you are from below, I am from above. What below are they from?
Hell.
No, it doesn't mean hell, really, I don't
think.
This world, that's the idea, yeah. He explains it in a minute, yeah? Because he says next, you are of this world, I am not of this world. And that's typical Hebrew speaking. You say it one way,
yeah,
and then you say the same thing again, in a different way.
Yeah.
Right? So he says, you're below, I'm from above, you're of this world, I'm from heaven. Yeah? So that's what he's saying. Well, there you go. They wouldn't like that, are you? Would they, yeah? I told you, you would die in your sin. Die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Right? Yeah, well, before we get to that, he's saying to them, there's a way out. If you just listen to me, you wouldn't need to die in your sins. He says this, if you do not believe that I am, and then my translation has got in brackets, the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Yeah. Well, it's sort of that, but what Jesus says, I don't know if you've got a translation, say, Jesus says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins.
They would know what he meant, I am.
I am is referring to God, yes.
Does this mean then that although they'd studied it, he's intimate that they didn't know the scriptures. You know,
they didn't understand the scriptures. That's the problem.
That's the thing that they hadn't sort of clicked with it.
No, that's the spiritual bit. Yeah. I mean, you can be ever so clever, you can know every verse going, but if the light's not turned on, you just don't get it. Mm. I mean, I remember as a non-Christian, I read bits of the Bible, but I mean, it was just stuff. Yeah. You know, and then you become a Christian, and all of a sudden it's jumping up. Yeah. You know,
and
the lights come on. There's nothing changed in the book. Somebody's changed inside. You know,
and you can join the old with the new and everything else. Yeah. Whereas you couldn't see it.
That's right. No, it's God. It's God drawing us to Jesus, and he makes us see. They haven't got it yet. Yeah. So he's saying, if you don't get this, if you don't realize who I am, then you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They ask. Who do you think you are? Basically, it's part of it, yeah? Just what I've been claiming all along, Jesus replied. Yes, I've been telling you. I've so much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world. He says, I've got a lot I could sort out in you lot if we need to. Yeah? But I'm here to let you know what I've been told, yes? And what I've heard from him I tell the world. So Jesus is saying, I'm not making up my stuff. I'm just giving you what God's given me. Right. Then, they did not understand that he was telling them about his father. You see, that's astounding, isn't it? I mean, he's been talking about this for so much. You'd have thought they'd have got it, but they didn't. Yeah? And there's a real, real humbling lesson for us. I keep coming back to this, you know. It's not because you're so clever that you've come to Jesus. You know, God's opened your heart. He's opened your understanding. He's helped us to see who Jesus is. That's astounding. We are walking miracles. We just don't realise it. That's the trouble. Yeah? Walking miracles. To be able to say, I know who Jesus is, and I know he's my saviour, that is a miracle. Yeah? And so, he says they didn't know whose his father was. Yeah? So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And they put in brackets the one I claim to be again. Yeah? Right. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, yes, now, what does he mean by that? We know, don't we? They're going to crucify. And why the Son of Man? That's your obvious. He keeps using his name for that.
He uses that term.
As Messiah, yes. He's calling himself the Son of Man. When you've crucified me, then you'll know I am. Yes. Because he's not staying crucified. Yeah. So then you'll know. And I hope some of them did. I think after the resurrection, quite a few began to get the idea. Yeah? Yeah? So, you'll know why. And that I do nothing but on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Yeah? Now, again, I was reading various commentaries about this, and someone said, again, that is one of the really amazing statements that only Jesus could make. That he says, I always do what pleases my Father God.
Yeah.
Right? Because most of us try to do what pleases Father, but we don't always do. But Jesus could make that claim. He is the Son of God. Totally amazing, yeah? So Jesus is making it quite clear who he is. And then he says, this is a lovely bit. He says, Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. So while the Pharisees are arguing with him, the other people are listening and saying, he's right, you know. Yes, yes, and they're beginning to get it, yes. Which is good, which is good. So we're going to stop there. So, we're going to be arguing again next time. Sorry and all that. They're always arguing with you, aren't they? You can't win. But just look at that. Amazing wisdom. If they put you on the spot like that, perhaps the wisdom is, don't answer immediately. Pray about it. Yeah. And think. Yeah? And the Lord might just give you the right word to say that will completely stymie them. Okay, let's pray, shall we? And praise his name. Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing wisdom in having handled the evil intent of these wicked men. Lord, they didn't know you, they were blinded by their arrogance and by their feeling of superiority, and yet Lord, they were poor people, Lord, in the night, in the dark, and you came to set people free. Thank you, Jesus. We see in this woman, Lord, that messed up, Lord, foolish and caught in her sin, and yet Lord Jesus, you gave her the chance to walk free and to start a new life. Thank you, Jesus, for being the Saviour that can really save people. We bless you, Lord, that, yes, we come to you and acknowledge that we have understood and seen that you are the light of the world, Lord Jesus, and the light of our lives. And we want to thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts to that truth. We bless you, Lord, and pray that we may be lights in a small way, small L, Lord, after following you, the light of the world. Grant us your blessing, Lord, and help us to be gracious. Lord, learn from the folly of the Pharisees, Lord, to be always trying to pick faults and trying to find mistakes, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust you, and in trusting you, be led each day as Father wants us to be. Lord, we ask your blessing, and thank you, Father, for your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.